The Book of Jonah, written and read by Luke Kennard. Chapter 1, in which Jonah receives instruction from God to go to Nineveh and prophesy, neglects his adoptive daughter's prospects, and sets out in the opposite direction. Lecture 1, Against a Common Danger, Let There Be a Common Prayer. Okay. Jonah was a late addition to the canon, post-exilic or Hellenistic. Jonah is either a weaponized fairy tale or a re-enchanted history. In carvings and icons, depictions of angels that aren't directly mentioned in the text. Isn't that always the case? It's what angels are. Could we dim the lights a little in here, please? No? All right. Could everyone half-close their eyes then? The Book of Jonah could also be taken as an accurate historical record of exactly what happened, or an allegory, an augury, fulfilled in later works or not, or as a joke, the one about the great fish. This is about winning people over to your cause. Soon you care only about your powers of persuasion and forget why you were trying to win them in the first place. Such is demagoguery. Prophets are not demagogues. Prophets are set apart by having no desire whatsoever, by their reluctance, powerlessness, and yet. According to various sources, Jonah was already a prophet before the events described in the Book of Jonah. He served King Jeroboam II, and his prophecies, ecological, military, diplomatic, had generally been sound, which is to say they came true, which is to say if Jonah was respected, he was not exactly appreciated on a personal level. According to other scholars, the Book of Jonah is a parody, a pastiche of the other prophets, major and minor, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. These books are either first person narrated by the prophet in question, or supposedly written by the prophet in question, and substantially consist of the prophecy itself. Jonah is third person and substantially consists of the protagonist doing everything he can to avoid delivering his own prophecy. Having surgically removed the art from the artist, the glass half darkly. Now you can have it both ways. You can wake up and realize that you are living some levels deep into an advert within an advert, that your life is a parody of a life someone like you would live. Which is to say, come on, you don't actually believe that, do you? It is good to say, come on, you don't actually believe that, do you? This could win people over to your cause, that of unilateral circumspection, at any cost in the age of the lobbyist, I don't know. Tiny skirmishes over a frontier of control in the attention economy, shrimp-like. There are those who excavate for relics and pan for textual authenticity, but then there are those who even talk about a parable as if its characters were historical persons, possessed of inner lives, conflicts, depth. You could say anyone into being for these people. The owner of the vineyard, the fonz, the prodigal son, Lassie's owner, that guy who lost a pearl, the cyclops. As if they had knee injuries, a varnish of sweat on their brow, heartache, a date of birth, a eulogy they gave for their father. Maybe they are right. Why shouldn't anyone exist? But I think we need to agree on some basic principles if we wish to entertain a faith at all. We need to draw a distinction between people it's hard to believe existed and people we're not even supposed to believe existed. Otherwise, what's the point in anything? An Englishman walks into a bar, and the Englishman was me. Hi. The apocryphal, for anyone remotely sane, is a dreadful test of credulity. But into the same bar comes Jonah. The barman says, go easy on the pathos, give no examples, don't sweat the concrete details, tell, don't show. It doesn't have to be that good.